All right, we're talking about heavy stuff today. I don't know why, I can't tell you, but for some reason, the events of this week that have taken place in Charlotte have just won't let me go. And there's some things I feel like we need to process about that. Now, I want to tell you that I want to put this in a positive perspective. In all the stories, in all the confusion, in all the mayhem, in all of that, there's somebody I want you to meet that perhaps you have met, maybe you haven't met. Maybe not directly, but indirectly. So I'm going to show you a series of three different videos. The first one is a newscast. The second one is a newscast. It's a very, very brief introduction. And the third one is more, I'm not going to say it's not edited, it is for sound because of all the language. But the third one is a wider view of what the very short middle one is about. And then I hope that you'll see where I'm going. We're talking about the peacemakers today.
North Carolina under a state of emergency now as a second night of violence and chaos erupts in Charlotte.
Four police officers hurt last night as nearly 1,000 rioters took to the streets, throwing fireworks, looting stores, blocking traffic, kicking out windows, or all sorts of things. Leland Vittard has been live in Charlotte overnight as the National Guard rolls into the city. Leland, good morning.
Steve, Ainsley, Pete, good morning to you guys. A light rain now coming down, and there's some joggers out on the streets braving the rain that is kind of washing away the smell of tear gas here in downtown Charlotte. Still, there's a number of companies, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Duke Energy, the huge power company down here, all saying to their employees they don't think downtown Charlotte is safe because of what happened last night. Don't bother coming to work today. Take a look at one of the looted stores. Evidently, the rioters wanted Red Bull and cigarettes, and they took the five-finger discount here. During those riots, four police officers injured, and now the cavalry is coming in, the National Guard coming in to try and restore order. We've also seen the North Carolina Highway Patrol and state troopers on the streets as well, with very different rules of engagement than what we saw last night from the Charlotte police. And the police really let things get out of hand between about 8 and 9:30 when one person was shot. He's in critical condition. He was actually shot by another protester. Take a listen to the chief of police describing the situation as it was happening.
We're trying to disperse the crowd. We've been very patient, but now they've become very aggressive, throwing bottles and so forth at my officers. So it's time for us now to restore order.
This is all kicked off in about 36 hours with the police shooting Keith Scott, a man in his 40s. He was shot by police. According to his family, Keith Scott just had a book in his hand. According to police and pictures that have been put out there, Keith Scott had a gun in his hand. And since race has become such a big issue in this story, important to note that Officer Brentley Vincent, the officer who shot Keith Scott, is black as well. Protesters, though, out here on the streets are saying that doesn't matter, and then they turn into rioters and they say, essentially, we don't really care who shot who, we just want an excuse to be angry out here. And you really, guys, have to put this into a political context. North Carolina, early voting state, big time swing state, and now this violence on the streets, and you can imagine the dynamic that's creating both here in Charlotte with the African American community and then also those outside of this city looking at what's happening here.
All right, Leland Vittard live in the streets in Charlotte. Thank you very much.
In the middle of the chaos in Charlotte last night was this, a man giving out hugs to police in full riot gear. Ken Wadike started the Free Hugs Project 2 years ago after the Boston bombings, and when protesters taunted him, he told them police need compassion too, just like the protesters. In fact, he's posted videos supporting Black Lives Matter, but he says he'll hug anyone without discrimination, and each hug is its own demonstration of our common humanity.
You're It's not even like that. It's about staying neutral. That's what's important. So I'm.
Yeah, what'd you say?
Did he kill somebody? Did he kill somebody?
Heard you though.
I hurt just
you. For standing behind him because he's black and they can jump people.
Take off that bag. If one black person does something, right? We can't say that every black person is bad.
If one white person does something, we cannot say that every cop is bad. So every Japanese,
none of these people here shot anyone.
Right, so
none
every Japanese person is the smartest person you ever met?
I can't even reason with you because you're not making sense
to me.
What I was trying to help you understand. I see them as human beings, just like I see everybody on this side as human beings. We're all human. His uniform doesn't make him a robot. Just like your uniform, your skin color doesn't make you a criminal. And that's what I need people to understand, is to stand neutral on
but
this man gave me a hug and he wants to fight me because of that. How does that make sense? Spreading more hate into the world. That's what's frustrating me. That we can't love one another. It doesn't make sense.
We all should be equal, but we're not. These black men in the line, they know by their skin color.
When he takes off his uniform, he's gonna feel the same injustices that we feel. But right now, he has a job to do.
No, I have no sympathy.
If I couldn't find work, if I was not blessed to have a job, guess what I would do? I would join the military. I would be a police officer. I would find work in order to feed my children. That's what they have to do. So just because he wears this uniform doesn't mean he doesn't feel the pains that our people feel. I feel it, and I'm a peace activist, though.
Okay.
I travel the world spreading love, and I felt it when that man was shot. And I'm sure many of them did too, but right now, they have a job to do.
Right.
Guess how we're gonna fix this stuff?
How are we gonna
fix this? The way we're gonna fix this problem is to get rid of fear.
To give away free hugs.
Right?
We should give away free hugs.
If we could get rid of fear and we could get rid of hatred, there'll be more love in the world.
When
there's more love in the world,
I'm not going to
see some of these issues.
There's not going to be no peace until there's change in America. The government has to.
I'm talking about here in Charlotte. I'm talking about here. Look, this is what people need to understand. All of this damage, now the Hyatt has to deal with that. Their insurance has to deal with that. Because of one messed up police officer. If we fall back and we say we could peacefully protest, but this
you
stuff,
can't.
Man.
And
why?
Listen to me.
I grew up in South Central Los Angeles when the Rodney King riots happened. My entire community, Miss, can I speak, please? My entire community was burned down and destroyed because of the Rodney King riots.
I show that to you, number one, because I want you to see there are people who are on the battle lines. There are people there who are peacemakers. There's a lot of people there who aren't. The truth of the matter is that most of these events that have taken place since that shooting began, the first part of them were peaceful. And then when the peaceful part said it's time to go or move on, it was the others that came in who had an agenda. And it was in the middle of that part of what was taking place where this young man found his place. So I want to look at some scripture. I got a couple of questions, and I want to process this just a tad. Because I'm going to be honest with you, there is not any city in this nation that is not one breath away from having to deal with that. And we live in a city that's had a lot of homicides. And we came very close to this about a year ago, if you remember correctly. And our mayor handled it, the mayor at that time, actually handled it very well. And it made a difference. So, just want to focus on where we need to focus in the midst of the reality. So let's look at a couple of passages. In James 3, it says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness." In what we saw, especially in that last clip, you saw a whole lot of moving parts. You had Ken, the young man. You had the policeman. You had the two gals that were just going to be mouthy. You had two guys who were willing to listen. One who understood and had the ability to comprehend what Ken was saying. And the other guy was resistant to it, but he at least listened. And all the time while he was actually having an opportunity, did you see the change in tactics by the two girls? At first, they, were mouthing, okay? And I think the truth is, what we saw, it was the first part of this passage, there was no peace, there was only agenda and strategy in what they were doing. At first, they put up the wall and they mouthed. And then they figured, okay, what we'll do to confuse everything is we will then do what he said to do. And were they sincere in what they were doing? It didn't look like it to me. But what they were doing is they were trying to confuse and cause more distraction in the whole thing. So we see this very clearly represented. And we know what is good, and we know what is not good. And we know that the agendas of some were the exact agendas that James was talking about. People who are bitter, who are envious, who are angry, and are just looking for an opportunity to go be chaotic. That's what they're looking for. Now, I'm going to get to some questions later that we're going to process on the undercurrent of that, but not yet. All right, second passage. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God." Was what Ken was doing, was that safe? Yes, it was, Daniel. As far as we know, how many people were with Ken? I didn't see anybody. Maybe one. I mean, but we don't know if he was with him. He maybe was with him, but I don't know. We just don't know. It wasn't like he had a whole bunch of people there to protect him. But we know that's the side that the Holy Spirit's on. Later on, Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, You are a light. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Do we have a chance to do that because we happen to see Ken? Was he a light? Do we see the light? Was it in darkness? I would say it was probably pretty dark around that place. By the way, you did hear the two young ladies talk about being paid. That may have slipped what you heard altogether. She said, "We're not out here getting paid." Okay. She wasn't talking about work. She was talking about she was a paid protester. On the other hand, we have Ken, who has a calling, who goes into the darkness. Next passage, John. In Hebrews 12, 14, 15, it says, "Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." I have a couple of questions. Why is that angry mob not wise? Kind of, I'm going back to James for a second, then I'll catch up. Why is the mob not wise? I'm not talking about the peaceful protest. I'm talking about the mob part. The part that came in, swooped in. Yes. And that's why they were brought in, they were paid. Paid disruptors. Well, I hope you don't hear me saying anything about protest. In all of this, there's a place, a very significant need for more kins. We need, and that one of the things we're going to do before we leave, we're going to be praying for more kins. Because that is what is necessary for there to be any change, is there has to be more people with courage who are willing to speak truth. And I'm not saying, okay, understand, I'm not saying that all those people that were on that street agreed with him whenever it was all over that night. But he spoke truth, and somebody's got to speak truth before anybody ever have a chance of hearing it and see the power of being willing to engage others in love or acceptance, which is what he was willing to do demonstrably, even though people would criticize him for it. The anger and the agenda that says I am justified in either injuring or damaging or vandalizing, okay, that would find that as a legitimate means. Okay. When that is what is at the core, is creating more chaos than to hopefully get what you want or your agenda. Because there is some of that, I just want mine, I'm going to get my TV while I can. There is some of that. I'm going to get my cigarettes while I can. I'm going to get my Red Bull while I can. Okay? There is some of that. But then there are also the others that are there to advance, to stir up an issue, to advance a larger agenda. There are those who are there. There are people, there's puppeteers back there. Okay? You might not even see them on the street. Those people, that part of it is pernicious. He's a big word. And it is important that kind of stuff gets confronted with peace and love. Because the two things contrast very clearly. Even the contrast between the two young girls and Ken was very clear. They were locked and loaded to be angry. And essentially what they said was, we're here because we're angry. And I'm not saying that it's not legitimate to be angry for other people. It is legitimate to be angry whenever other people are hurt. We ought to be more angry more often. Not sin, but we ought to be more angry about people being hurt than we are. It didn't matter anymore that the policeman who shot the man in this situation was also African American. It no longer mattered. It was just angry, 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 angry. Initially, all this stuff, you know, last year, whenever these events seemed to begin to swell up, it was about race. And it was actually, in this situation, it really didn't have anything to do with race at all. It became the government. They're here to oppress me. I think that the reality is that there are always those who are looking for a means by which to accomplish their agenda. And there's a group of people right now that believe that by manipulating opportunities, whether they're really opportunities or not, are ready to infuse the anarchism and the chaos in order to what they think it accomplishes their purpose. Yes, yes, yes. And yes, there are always people, and it seems like lately, because of the way things have been stirred up in the last 3-4 years, that it's a prime time. And I think part of that too is because of the political context. It's election season, and so all of this stuff leading up to this year and this election have become much more engaged in all the things that are going on. So that is a reality that's behind this. I do not want to forget that we are focusing not on the problem, we are focusing on the solution. We are focusing on what it takes for things to be different. And sometimes I don't think, I'm going to get to you, Bethany. I don't think it's that we intentionally do that. We are so tired that we fall into the ruts of what we normally do, because we have such an onslaught against us that comes at us media-wise, cultural-wise, in the workplace. We are so assaulted in so many ways that when we get home, we then carry on the path of least resistance, because we are so tired and exhausted. And then I agree with you, Jay, very much about the cultural context from which we live with, especially here in the South. We have done that because we had the means to do it. And in the future, that can't continue. Those things happened, Bethany, because people went where God told them to go. Okay, God told Ken to go do this. Okay, God told those people, you need to go set up a tent and worship. Okay, because they were in the battle zone, and they went and they did what God led them to do. Those are the peacemakers. Those are the people who are willing to go praise God in the middle of hell and go do it. So we have John 16:33, Jesus saying, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world, which is exactly what you just said. So two things. One is being the person who's willing to be a peacemaker and being prayed up and going where God tells you to go. Two important things. Got a couple passages more. 1 Peter 3, 10 through 12. Whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So we know where God stands when it comes to people who have that agenda of just destroying and taking, and we know that this is just an opportunity for them to do the mayhem that's in their hearts. We also know that we do have the ability, because God is with us, to do something about it if we are willing to be peacemakers. What does being holy have to do with being able to have a standing or foundation to be a peacemaker? Well, it's like running into a burning building with a water pistol. You know, I'm going to go make a difference. Well, you go with your own agenda. And this is one of the things we're called to be. Okay, let's deal with some of the broader questions for a second. John, if you'll kind of go to the questions. I want to be honest and I want to be fair about the context of all this. Because we can't act like just this moment exists in a vacuum. There has been institutional racism and prejudice that has existed in our nation. It has. Sometimes one of the ways we disarm the enemy is by being honest and not acting like it's only about right now and things are better. Because even though the young people who were there in Charlotte on the ground, who were either paid or who either had a lot of passion for this thing, they've been caught up. Even though they have not experienced that, they fear what people have generationally told them. And the sins of our forefathers do still have effect, because it was sin. And one of the things we have to do is be honest and say, yes, I agree. It was wrong. I'm glad that we do not institutionally now have codified laws that approve of that behavior, because that's sin. Thankfully, we're not there anymore. But we are still catching up in terms of the... Have you ever known there to be a change of something, but yet it takes a while for your emotions to catch up to the reality of the change? Well, I think that's part of what we've gone through. And then all that in the last 7 or 8 years has been stirred back up again for people's purposes. Jay, I'm agreeing with you. What I'm saying is that their context of what they perceive is that. I'm not necessarily saying that it's always accurate. I'm just saying that's the blanket that's been spread. Okay? But it is the one that is loud, and it is the one that is propagated. Okay, it's very common. It's the narrative that is the one that they live and they deal with. But sometimes emotions are not easy to. I mean, we've had this conversation. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter anymore. Which is why it doesn't matter what is means. Which is why it does. I mean, we can say one thing and do the other, and we act like, what? Yes, it does. It matters what we approve. It does. It matters what we approve. I'm just trying to let you see. Generational hurt is not like today, oh, everything's gone. It just, it's better. And even though it may be, there still are people who have had influences in their lives, and here they are. And now there's opportunities for misinformation and for chaos and for mayhem. And it is a backdrop, even though it's not, we would never say it's legitimate. But it is. It's good and it's bad. It's good and it's bad. The good part about it is that sometimes we get to see what really happened. The bad thing about it is there's a lot of people out there who can disseminate untruth and try to influence for an agenda. All right. Well, let's just kind of put an end on this, I'll tell you a story. The last church that my dad was in that I can remember that he was really in and invested in was whenever I was six years old in St. Louis, Missouri. And he and a friend of his had an idea about reaching out to the African-American community that was nearby the church. And that didn't go so well. My dad's not been in church since. I mean, granted, there's been a lot of other things that have happened in over life and over time, but that was significant. So there's a lot of things that are still out there that a lot of people still cling to, because people cling to pain and when they've been hurt, and it's really hard to forget. Not that they shouldn't, but it is hard. There's healing that has to happen, okay? Bottom line. And people have to desire to be reconciled and to heal. And there's got to be peacemakers. Got to be peacemakers. And it's got to be God's people, because that's who we're supposed to be. So, let's pray. Father, we are before you as humble people who wish we had answers. Lord, we know that the greatest answer is that we need to listen to you, know you, and we need to be obedient to you whenever you tell us how to love, how to model who you are. And Lord, I'm praying that you would show us how to be the peacemakers, and that, Lord, you would help us to pray for people like Ken, who is there in Charlotte, as he goes around the globe, literally, to show what it means to love people and accept people. Lord, I'm praying that you would give him words and empower him and protect him as he goes where you call him to go. Lord, I pray for many more people like Ken, that, Lord, you would raise up more pastors, raise up more people of God, that, Lord, we would be united, and that we would say justice is important because we have a God of justice who is compassionate. Lord, show us, lead us, direct us. We ask this in Jesus' name.